Hey, everybody, I'm Nathan.
Hey, I'm Cameron.
And we are the Super Budget Brothers. We're, again, missing the third, but I'm sure he has a good reason this time. So, what we do every single episode is we take a budget title, we play it for a week, come back, discuss it, and give it a rating. And this week was a little different than it normally happens. We actually had a gentleman, Justin, reach out. He's an aspiring game designer. He designed a game for a 24-hour kind of, a contest or just a challenge for himself. And the game is called Shadows of the Darkness. Now, he kind of offered it and said, would you play this? It happened actually a couple of weeks ago, but we had already chosen the game. So we played it this week. The one thing I do have to state beforehand is even though it was created in 24 hours, which is fantastic, Justin, congratulations on that. I personally feel that I can't give or take points for that. Because I don't care if you made it in 2 days or 2 years. You know, it's all about the fun factor and what the game's about.
Yeah.
So, although admirable, we're not taking anything away from that. We can't really put it into scoring. Mm-hmm. So, with that, you want to give a breakdown of the game here?
Sure. So, it kind of, graphically, it makes me remember the older games of when you and I were growing up, Nate.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the 90s, where you get those game packs that have, like, 250 different games in them, and they're all, like, short and have very, very little purpose to them.
Yeah.
That's kind of the graphics of it. It's like an old RPG maker. Anyway, basically you're this guy and your sister is sick and needs medicine and it's in the basement. So she asks you to go to the basement to get it. The stairs collapse, if I remember correctly, and you die.
Yep.
And then you meet Death in, like, a disco room, and he gives you, like, a task. You have to go and find a scythe, and then you're off on these quests. You find that, and you get another quest. Anyway, you're basically trying to save your sister.
Yeah. And that's about it. The funny part is, that's the big story, but takes up the littlest amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you go down, you step on the grate, and it goes through, and then you fall to your death. And like you said, Death is in a disco room.
Mm-hmm.
And the writing in this game is not bad. You know, it goes for humor, and it hits some of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so the basic story for the game as it's finished right now, because it's actually an unfinished game, which we'll talk about later. But the idea is sister's sick, you die, talk to Death, you find his scythe, bring it back to him, and then you have to go to a village and talk to a guy who wants you to find some sort of trinket. You go to find the trinket in a dungeon, you don't find it, and then turns out the dungeon is a monster, I guess, or living somehow, and then burns the village where the guy wanted the trinket. And then you talk to someone else and you get an audience with Satan to try to go back to life. And then you have to go through trials to get to Satan. And then you get to Satan and that's kind of it. Yep. Which we'll go through. You didn't get too far in this, right?
No. So here's what happens with me. Well, first of all, to touch on the writing that you touched on.
Mm-hmm.
there were a few parts that it did make me laugh. And it's kind of funny because it's done like we would talk to one another.
Uh-huh.
You know, like we're talking right now. It's not use of, like, proper English in any way, really. And it's meant that way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't think it's...
Yeah, it's not like a translation error or anything.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, when you talk to Death in the disco room, and your character says, oh, the floor hurts my eyes. I think it's your character. Maybe it's Death that says it. Anyway, somebody says the floor hurts my eyes, and I was like, that's exactly what I'm thinking.
Yep.
You would not believe how irritating this room is.
When the walls are blinking pink.
Yeah.
It's just like, holy crap. It's a pretty big room. It's a big mind breaker.
Yeah. So anyway, I noticed it right at the beginning of the game, and this is basically what hindered my progressing through the entire game.
Okay.
Is that your movement doesn't go... Okay, so the map, the rooms and stuff are set up on a grid,
mm-hmm.
and it's plain to see. I mean, the ground is, you know, squares, and so it's this big grid. But when you walk, your steps don't take up one space on the grid.
Right.
So you can be like...
Well, they take up a quarter.
Yeah.
So it's you can move in any of the 16 spots on one grid.
Mm-hmm. And so, if you're trying to fit through a door, it can you have to fit exactly on that spot. Otherwise, your person doesn't fit through the door. And so you can see that there's an open door, but if you're a little bit off, you can't walk through it.
Yeah.
And sometimes it doesn't really look like you're off. Sometimes it does, but if the room is all identical, then you can't really tell that you're, like, off a little bit. If there's other kind of landmarks, then it's not so bad. But
well, and it's made worse by the fact that your guy does take up a 4x4 area. You know, it's mm-hmm. one grid spot, but technically it's 4x4 in this sub-grid. He takes up that spot, but the character's head is above that section by, like,
yes.
two spots.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always kind of a, well, I guess it's just one spot, but that's enough to throw you off. So if your legs are too far down, you can't get through a door, even though your head would fit.
Mm-hmm.
But if your head doesn't fit and your feet go through, then you're okay. And that
yeah.
did take a bit of adjustment.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and on that, do you want to talk about the controls?
Oh, yeah. Okay. So so as soon as you get in the game, there's like a notice that says tab. You hit tab for controls.
Mm-hmm.
Guide. Basically, it's the arrows to move. D opens doors. S is for speak, I would assume.
Yeah, to talk to people.
P is for pull, if I remember right.
Yes, uh-huh.
R is to push. And then you can also examine things, which I think was E.
E, right. Well, so everyone, look at your keyboard right now. So here are your big buttons. S, D, E, R. That's not bad. P. What the heck?
Yeah. So
well,
that was the first thing I noticed.
Yeah, because you control with the arrows. That's how you move your person. And then you have this weird little cluster on the left that mostly makes mnemonic sense. And then P for pull is all the way on the other side of the keyboard. And
mm-hmm.
my biggest thing is there are some things you can pull, there are some things you can push, no things that you can do both to. It's either one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can examine some things, and if you can examine it, it doesn't do anything else. Like, that's all you can do with it.
Mm-hmm.
Also, doors, you can only open, you can't, like, pull a door shut or push it open or anything. You have to hit D for open the door.
Mm-hmm.
All of that should have been one button. Period.
I would agree, yeah.
And even the speaking to people. I mean, because if you're speaking to someone, I didn't find a single instance where you could do anything else. Because you have no inventory, you have really no life bar because there's no combat. You don't have any statistics. There's no menu. There's no options. There's no, you know, pause state. There's nothing. And you wouldn't need a pause state because, you know, it's not like an action game. It's a puzzle, you know, boom, 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 move around the map. Game. So that's fine, but there's nothing to do. And the only way you can see the controls, well, actually, let me backtrack a little bit. Every piece of dialogue or notice in this game pops up in its own little Windows window.
Mm-hmm.
Like a little ding, and it pops up. It doesn't make the noise, but it pops up a little window.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, holy crap, that would have been terrible. But it pops up and it says, you know, the person's name, the character's name, and then a colon, and then what they say. And then you can hit enter to hit OK to close the window. Well, some conversations are kind of lengthy. and you have to enter blah, 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 and run through it. It probably should have just popped up text over the screen. If you were to make them larger, for one. But also, you could maybe put top and bottom bars. Because when you're talking, the screen is always centered on your person.
Yes.
So when you're talking, they will be near the center of the screen. So if you put top and bottom, you can have at least two different characters. Mm. Because we forgot to mention that you eventually get your partner, the Dreadfowl, which is basically a featherless chicken. And he follows you around, and he's a snarky little prick. But that's pretty much his role. Because a few times where they're like, oh, you have a Dreadfowl? He should have told you that. And he's like, well, I didn't know. So the few times he's useful, he doesn't do what he's supposed to do. But he offers some more banter. He's more for the comedic and the speech options for the writers. But other than that, I mean, it could have been a lot better displayed textually instead of enter, going through everything.
Yeah.
The one positive, though, is if you need to get through a discussion, you could just hold enter.
It's not bad.
And it'll fly through it. So that's not too bad.
Yeah.
Well, even to the point where, so you're getting your scythe back from death, you have to go talk to the Riddle Master or whatever his friggin' name is. It's a guy with a
question mark face guy.
Yeah, the question mark guy. You have to talk to him. Well, he asks you a riddle, and there's three possible answers. Well, the correct answer is the first one. That is default highlighted. So if you just hold enter all the way through, you will answer correctly.
Very good.
So you just fly straight through it. The game, I think, is supposed to be a lot longer because I got to a room. I finally got an audience with Satan. And then he says, oh, I want the heart of the crazy beast dungeon that's running around killing everything now. So go get that. Here's an oddly shaped cross. Go do it. And I was kind of, at this point, the puzzles are, we'll get into in a moment, are, like, I feel rude saying it, but they're bad. They're just not very good as puzzles.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll go over those again in a second. But I was ready, because I went in the dungeon, and I went, okay, maybe they can do some cool things in this dungeon. But the game hadn't been made past that point. So, Satan, we're in this little tiny room, and it's surrounded by lava, and he says, okay, here's this cool new trinket, you know, the first time you get a trinket, and you're like, okay, cool, I mean, besides keys, I guess.
Yeah.
And you're ready to go fight this big beast dungeon that is now murdering everyone. You are ready. But you can't get out of that room. There's no end screen, there's no, sorry, the game's not finished, but I hope you had fun. There's no indication. I literally spent about half an hour going to every single square in that room and pushing every button to see if it did. Trying to figure out, because some of the earlier puzzles are asinine that are kind of like that. And you go, oh, come on.
Mm-hmm.
This one wasn't like that, though. It was just not done. You were literally stuck in a fiery little room with Satan, which I guess an allegory of some sort. I don't know.
Ooh, yeah. Maybe it's way deeper than we thought.
So it's a meta game is what you're saying.
It's meant to be played full screen, but since there's no way to escape it, you either have to sit in hell forever or reboot your computer.
Oh. Yeah. Oh. That's the other thing. The game is about, I don't know, how tall would you say that is? I'm not good at
even
640.
Yes.
It's a tiny little square, and you can't really expand it. You can expand the window, but the game was written at a specific resolution, not to stretch. Mm-hmm. So it stays there, which honestly wasn't that bad.
No. I'm pretty used to that. I mean, there's a lot of games recently that kind of do that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Or games that I play, at least.
Understood. Yeah, I was about to say, that's not a big thing, but... Well, and do you want to go over some of the puzzles you hit?
Okay.
And now, this is a part... Justin, again, we really appreciate you reaching out to us. I really respect what you did with 24 Hours, but we have to be honest. So, Cameron, why don't you go ahead and explain the puzzles here?
Okay. So, I can't... All right. So I can't remember where you get it, but this is my favorite one. It just sticks out to me for some reason. Somewhere Okay, so there's this room with lava in it. There's several rooms with lava, but this one is my favorite. So there's this room with lava in it. It's like there's a platform, and then a ton of lava, and then another platform. And on the wall, there's a cupcake and, what was it, a chicken?
Duck. Yeah, a duck.
A duck, yeah. So at some point between your sister's room and that lava room, you hear that frosting will kill you.
Yep.
So then you get to this point and you walk up and you're like, I'm being a tricky guy. I just tried to walk across the lava. And it didn't work. So I'm like, fine. So I go over and I'm like, if frosting's going to kill me, do I want to touch the cupcake and use this cupcake thing, or do I want to use the duck? So I picked the cupcake and tried to walk across again and died again.
Big surprise there.
Yeah, I know. I knew it was going to happen, but you never know. Yeah. Maybe it'll be some kind of quirky, you know, dungeon fall or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, I use the duck, and then you just walk across, and then this is where this is where I got stuck. So you walk across, you go through, there's like these double doors, kind of. There's like a door, and then one square, and then another door. And once you go through the second door, or once, I guess, the first door closes, you can't go back through that door. And then you walk into this room and it's just blank. It's just like wall and floor. So since you can't go backwards, you have to figure there's something you could do in the room. Well, like we were talking about earlier with the doorway problem.
Mm-hmm.
So you're supposed to walk through one of the walls.
Yeah.
But I walked up to every single wall, like you were saying, and used every option, you know, open, push, pull, examine, and did it all the way around the room, but apparently I wasn't exactly on, so I couldn't actually walk through the part of the wall that you're supposed to walk through.
Because of the messed up walking system.
Yes. <Yeah. laughs> So then I would go around this room like four times, and I'm like, maybe I missed something, try to go back, and you can't get back out that door. So then I just went crazy and was like, it's not even worth it. I'm done. Frosting will kill me. That's the only takeaway from the game for me. And then.
So it's a good diet tool, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, so let me expand on the rest of the game. Because I've literally finished it while we were talking about it. Like, this game is pretty short for what it is. The sequence of puzzles, simply broken down, is the first one you run into, and there are four switches on the wall. You can pull three of them, and literally nothing happens to you. And then you pull the fourth, and it says, wow, you can walk through the wall. So you do. Then you get to the maze part, which is always fantastic. Since there is really no way to die without like a scripted sequence, there's no enemies, there's no attacking, anything like that, this maze sequence is just to waste time. Like there's no reason to have it, because you don't find anything interesting, nothing interesting happens, you just walk down to the dead end and go, oh, okay, and then you walk back and go the other way. Then you do your little lava float puzzle, so you get through the lava float, you walk through a wall that it gives you no indication you can, and then you walk through a second wall in the next room, which is also a blank-looking room, which it gives no indication that you can. And then you talk to Riddleface, and he gives you a riddle, which if you just hold the enter key to get through the conversation, you guess correctly.
Yeah.
warps you back, and then you go to a town place. Mm-hmm. If you talk to anyone but one specific guy, they just ignore you. Like, you can literally walk up and hit the S key, and they just don't say anything. Like, it's kind of bizarre.
Yeah, I found that as well. And it's kind of interesting, because the village town place is kind of big compared to the rest of, like, what you'd seen.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
Far. And so, you know, you take your time, you walk, you go into a building, and there's, like, three people in there, and you try to talk to them, and nobody says anything.
Yeah, they just
So you leave and go somewhere else.
Well, so,
like, fine, I know I'm not wanted here. I'm leaving.
Screw you all. Well, so you finally find this barkeep, and he'll talk to you and give you a quest, and then, or say, you can't go back to life. It's impossible. Mm-hmm. And then you go, and there's a cyborg guy in the corner, I guess. And you talk to him, and he says, I'll do it if you go get this special trinket. Trinket ABC. Mm-hmm. And then you go down into the dungeon, the forest dungeon, and there's one ladder where... There's two ladders. If you go down the first ladder, there's no way back up until you get through a locked door. And literally, to get through the locked door, you just have to walk over every little square until he says he finds a key. That's it. There's just a key that is completely invisible on the ground.
Mm.
You go down the right staircase, and you go to the lava pits, this one was mildly interesting. Just the idea of it was kind of cool. Where there's lava everywhere in this room. You can't fly anymore from the duck wall thing.
Yeah.
So some of the tiles, the lava tiles, slowly move, except for the ones that you can walk across. So you just have to sit there and wait for it to go, and then walk on the safe tiles. You get out, the dungeon yells at you. Go back to town, robot guy's all bloody, you talk to him and he dies. and that's a big dramatic point in the game. No, my robo buddy! What happened, man?
No! Yeah.
Did a new model come out and kill you?
That sounds terrible. I'm glad I didn't get that far.
Yeah, it was mind-scarring. And you go, oh no. And so you talk to a girl who's in just some random building. Go talk to a guy about getting an audience with Satan.
Of course,
and
yeah.
Yeah, of course. I mean, what else would you do? And then you start the trials, which is kind of the main part of the game, I guess. The first trial is there's the numbers 1 through 5 scrawled on the wall, and you have to push them, and it says you hear a clicking sound. Mm-hmm. And the clue on the wall says, the unluckiest thing of all will unlock your way. I honestly have no idea what it says. Even the characters say, it's a riddle? Yeah, it seems like it. I went up and just started randomly pushing buttons in, and it let me through.
Oh.
Yep. The next...
Way to go.
Oh, yeah. No, so I was like, okay, I guess I am the luckiest person in the world. Then you get to the Room of Flowers, which are literally just a bunch of flowers who all... There's three colors. There's green flowers, for whatever reason. Blue flowers and pink flowers. And then one little wilted purple one at the beginning. So this one got me stuck for quite a while. And there's one red flower that is a slightly different color. It's a little bit brighter.
Mm.
The idea here is you go on any of the flowers except the bright one or the purple one, and it says, this isn't the right flower. That's all it says. This isn't the right flower. Well, now, if you eat the purple one, or pick the purple one, I guess, it kills you. That's the game says it kills you, and it resets you. Mm. If you pick the red one, the bright red one, first... That's the solution to the puzzle. It says, you know, ta-da, you got the right flower, now you can go through the door, and you turn into your chicken buddy for whatever reason. Okay. Well, now here's the catch. If you pick any other flower but the red flower, and then pick the red flower, it just says it's not the right flower. It doesn't tell you what happened, it doesn't tell you why, it just kills you outright. Or it doesn't, I'm sorry, it just says, oh, I don't know. Even though you are picking the right flower now. So it took me a while to figure out that, oh, I have to kill myself and then pick the exact flower by hovering over it with my weird walking and then picking it. It was just a weird, unnecessary thing that just made it harder.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's a room where you're a chicken and there's three portals on your side. So you go through the portals and then you go through another portal and pick up a key. Two of the portals will throw you into lava and you die, but when you die, you respawn, just like every other puzzle in this game. You respawn right next to the puzzle, so there was no fear of failure. You just kind of did it until you got it right.
Mm-hmm.
Just a bump.
Yeah, but then again, I was very scared of dying the first time.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh my gosh, I don't want to die again. Because then I gotta fall down the stairs, or I mean the grate, and actually die and go to the disco death.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I was like, please spawn me at least somewhere near this so that I don't have to start the game all over.
Yep.
Because there was a lot of text to scroll through and a lot of doors to walk through, and that is the bane of my existence.
So. Very true, yes. Well, and the beauty of it, though, is you get to go talk to Death again. After the flower scene, you walk through a door, talk to Death, he sends you to Satan, you talk to Satan, and the game is broken. Like, that's it. That's technically the end of the game, but that's when Satan says, hey, you gotta go kill this crazy, you know, dungeon that's running around slaughtering everything. And it sounds cool, but you can't. So, it's just, I literally gave you guys an entire walkthrough of the game right there. I actually played through it while I was discussing it. I literally just beat the game again. So, it's... I don't even know what to say about it. Like, I admire that it was made. You know, someone made this in 24 hours. I get that. The game itself is not fun. A couple of the quips in writing are kind of fun. That's the best part, is the writing. The puzzles are bad. The art, which, you know, for a 24-hour game, I wasn't expecting too much. But it's basic. It's functional. The control is terrible. The button layout is terrible. It's just not... it's not a very good game. And I don't know what else to say about it.
Yeah, that pretty much sums it up. Basically, I don't even know. I don't know how I feel about it, because although, like we were saying, 24 hours, I mean, we went into it knowing that it was made in 24 hours. Therefore, there are a lot of things which you're like, okay, I don't expect there to be like a big menu or something like that.
Yeah, or
you know,
intricate battle system.
Yeah, exactly. But then going into it, knowing it's a puzzle game and seeing the puzzles
with quotes.
But and then you notice, like, well, it is a puzzle game, and if that's the puzzles, that is the game. Like, that's all there is. And it's a little bit of a letdown. But
yeah,
I mean, it's it's there, you know. I'm like you. I don't really know what to say about it, other than the review that we've given. I mean, we kind of went through just about everything. I don't recall any music to it, which is okay, because I probably would have turned it off anyway. But yeah, I think every aspect of the game could obviously use work, which is something that you expect for a 24-hour game. So it's kind of almost what I expected, but with worse puzzles.
Yeah, well, and again, just puzzles is not an adequate way to describe it. They're not really puzzles. They're bang your head against a rock until you figure out the incredibly ridiculous logic, like invisible wall doors that nothing tells you about, which that honestly, like, angered me. It's just that it's broken. It's like they forgot to put in the text of the character saying, hey, watch out for invisible walls. Or maybe I just missed it. Maybe there is a character that said, oh, by the way, frosting will kill you, and all walls should be run into with our weird walking system to make sure they're not doors. Or, you know, some throwaway line. I don't know.
But that actually is possible. Might have been it. I skimmed through the text pretty quickly, most part.
And see, I read it. I actually did read every little piece and pulled as much as I could out of it. And I don't remember anything about invisible wall doors. So that was just bad. The flower thing was just broken because there was no logical way to figure it out until you stare at it and bang your head against the floor for a couple of times, and then you go, oh, okay, maybe I should. It's just, ugh. It feels like the worst parts of old school puzzle games without the reward parts. Like, it just, I didn't have fun with it. I honestly can't recommend a download, and the game is broken and unfinished. So I feel bad. because he did reach out to us. He said, "Hey, review my game. I don't want to bash it into the ground, but I kind of have to. You know, that's what we do, is we have to be honest about it. And rating wise, I have to give it a 1 because it's broken. The game is broken. The puzzles are broken. The layout is ridiculous, and you can't modify it. It's just, it's bad."
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how else to put it.
Yeah, and I mean, anybody who's listened to us knows that, 1, we tend to be kind of harsh on games. 2,
yes.
We play a lot of crappy games.
Yeah,
for this podcast, not knowing ahead of time that they're crappy, but they just kind of end up that way.
No, we end up being the cautionary tale for you guys.
Yes. So, but I'm with you. I mean, we heard about the game from the creator. You know, we were told it ahead of time. It was made in 24 hours, and at that point, I expect it to be short. I expect it to be basics, you know, just stripped down gaming. And that's pretty much what it was. Although, like you were saying, the moving and walking and puzzles, it doesn't seem like it was planned ahead, really. Well, I think it seems to me like if it was in a 24-hour competition, that it was 24 hours from conception of game idea to finish
well, product.
Quote unquote finished. Yeah.
Well, and I think to give him the benefit of the doubt, I bet you that's what it was. You know, if he went in with a floor plan, knew what he was going to be doing, we would have gotten a slightly more polished product just because he wouldn't have to spend time thinking about how to do everything. You know, we would have probably gotten better text. We would have had a better walking system because he would have had the time to think it out and go, that's not going to work. But then if you give them planning time beforehand, that kind of defeats the purpose of the 24 hours. You know what I mean? So, and Justin Ross, we love you, buddy.
Yeah, we appreciate it. We really do appreciate people reaching out to us and giving us games that they maybe want to try, but would like a review on. I mean, we appreciate it, and we are willing to play pretty much whatever. If you've happened to pick up some of the games that were like, don't pick it up, you understand we will play pretty much anything. But yeah, the game is unfinished.
Yes.
And it's a lot of the basic core mechanics are really hard to work with, and I actually gave it a 2.
Okay.
Because you are able to actually accomplish things. I mean, we've had games that it's like, what? Like, you get past the opening menu, and that's it. And so,
yeah,
this is beyond those, I feel, but it's not a game that I would recommend for people.
Yeah, so you give it a 2, I give it a 1. The Super Budget Brothers, unfortunately, gives it a 1.5. One real quick shout-out. Justin Ross, seriously, it took some guts to reach out to us. Thank you. And looking at his the IndieDB for Indie Database site for his game, below it is his updates on his new game, Slender Source. If you've heard the game Slender, it was built on the Unity engine. It's about you're running around, it's really creepy, Slenderman's following you, you can't look at him while you're trying to find pages. Well, they're basically doing it one up. They're doing left for Slender, I guess. You can go through with your buddies, and you're trying to find creepy dolls that look like kids while avoiding Slenderman. It's still a work in progress, it's not done. Justin, as soon as that game is finished, make sure it's finished, but as soon as it is finished, you let us know, and we will play the ever-loving crap out of it. Because that looks awesome.
Yes, we would love to. And again, to anybody else, if you have any games that you want reviewed or something that you've created or had a hand in, a friend made, something like that, shoot us an email like Justin did. Because we appreciate the feedback. We appreciate the ideas. And we just like playing games. We don't care where it's from, what it is. Yeah, we just like doing it.
So, Justin, thank you, sincerely. Thank you very much. And so with that, though, you can email us any suggestions, like Cam was talking about, at fans@superbudgetbrothers.com. Go to our website, superbudgetbrothers.com, to find all of our episodes. And then you can follow us on Twitter. It's @SupBudBros. That's SupBudBros. Now, next week's game is called Exceed Gun Bullet Children. That, like, I read it a couple of times, but saying it is so stupid sounding.
I think you're just saying it wrong.
Oh, am I?
Exceed Gun Bullet Children.
Oh, see, that is much better. You're right.
Yeah.
Okay.
No.
So, Exceed is it's $3 on Steam. Looks like that's the only place I can pick it up right now on their site. We're going to be playing that this next week. It looks kind of like a bullet hell top-down vertical scroller. So we'll see how that goes, because I'm terrible at those.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's give a special thanks to Musim. He did our opening music. His name is, his website is Musim. That's musim.bandcamp.com. We're also a part of the Nergasm Network. You can find their internal podcast at nergasmnetwork.com, or look into the other network friends here at No Quarters. It's noquarters.net. Extra Play at extraplay.info, and Knights of the Video Game Table at kvgtpodcast.com. And the Nergasm Network, their show this week was actually taken over by the Knights of the Video Game Table, because they all decided to go, have lives and take a break for a week. So that was actually pretty funny. The KVGT just hopped on and started making fun of every member of their cast. So it's actually a pretty good listen. We are kind of the clean younger brother of the group. We try not to curse. We keep it as clean as possible, because we know a lot of younger players and gamers out there don't have the money for big titles, so they play a bunch of games. We're doing it for you guys. Everyone else swears quite a bit. Just keep that in mind. If it doesn't offend you, go listen to all of them. They're all fantastic and a joy to listen to. So with that, I think we're done.